Good evening, everyone. Tonight is a special night in the life of the church. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is an encouraging night, not just for Roy and Keith and David, not for necessarily their family. So I do hope all of them are encouraged. But it is a special night for us as a church, because as a church, we need help, we need care, and we are thankful that these men have, even in their willingness to step forward into this role, demonstrated a desire to show love, to show care to our flock here at Emmanuel Church, and that is a wonderful thing. The body is designed to work together. God has gifted many people within our flock. Everybody has a particular gift given by God that they should be using. And these men are taking up a role to help us discern those gifts, to help us learn how to work together, to protect us from the many threats and to draw alongside us when we ourselves are hurting. And so this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us that we are one church. We are giving thanks to God for bringing three men into the eldership along with myself. But we give thanks that God is allowing them to draw alongside us, that all of us would be encouraged to move forward in our walk with God and in our efforts in this particular church. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll begin at verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we have all attained to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's take a moment and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture of the church. We thank you for the picture of unity. We thank you for the picture of cohesion and of mutual edification. We thank you for the reminder that we have had here that you do appoint and equip those in our church with particular gifts. And especially tonight, we thank you for that particular gift of shepherding. We do thank you for how you have worked in the life of Keith and the life of Roy and the life of David, for how you chose them before the foundation of the world, how you saved them, Lord, and brought many influences to bear on their life. We thank you for every person who shared the gospel with them and sought to disciple them. And we thank you for all that they have learned over many years and all of the input that they have received from members of your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that you have gifted them for this particular task. We thank you for the wisdom that they have. We thank you for the deep love they have for the body here. We thank you, Lord, for the obvious gifts and abilities that you have given them. And Lord, we do pray that as they take up this mantle of ministry amongst us, as they seek to draw alongside and encourage us, as they seek to hold out the truth of your word before us, we do pray that what will take place would be just as we have read, that the saints would be equipped for the work of ministry, that their work amongst us would mobilize us to take this good news to the world and to be involved in the growing of one another, that iron would sharpen iron in this place, and that these men would be leaders amongst us who encourage and drive us forward, who set an example for us to follow and urge us in love to continue to pursue Christ. Indeed, we pray, Lord, that you would help them not to point to themselves, but to be able to point to their Savior. We do ask that you would give them a fruitful ministry amongst us. And Lord, we do pray, even at the outset of our service, that all will take place tonight. And these men, as they take up the role, that it would all be done in a way that would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, their Savior, and the one worthy of all praise. Indeed, Lord, we pray that the hymns that we sing, the things that we think about in your word, the prayers that are offered would all be done in a way that would give glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, one thing I did want to do at the beginning of the service is to remind you that our offering tonight is going to go to all of the various people who are out doing different short-term outreaches in various places. So we've some already. We were praying this morning for Andrew in Spain and for Jesse and Joan down at Mullerton. And there's others that are heading out this summer. And our offering tonight is going to be taken and really distributed amongst those who are heading away to try and encourage them that these efforts, this use of their time, is something that we delight in as a church. We want to hear and follow what it is that they're doing. We want to learn what gifts and abilities have been developed through those efforts. And we want to see those people encouraged. Now, I haven't gone around and told everybody this. And so if you're terrified, I apologize in advance. But I did want to take a moment and try and find out who is here that is heading away so that we as a church could become just a little bit more aware. Now, I'm going to try and use this mic. Now, can I get, if you're heading to lead a camp or a buy team or a whatever it happens to be, if you could come up here just for a moment, and all you're going to have to do is tell us what it is that you're doing. So come.
I'm Bob, and I'm helping out at Mullerton on week 3.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Jillian, and I've never been asked to stand up with the Prophet's church before. And you did it tonight.
And yet, Jillian, you're still talking. You're saying even more. That's encouraging.
I am going to help kick at week 3 at Mullerton.
Thank you.
I'm Mark, and I'm going to Bulgaria to coach football and share my testimony.
I'm Johnny. I'm counselling at Kids Camp Week 3 and Hell Life as well.
I'm Gary. I'm doing 3 weeks at BCM, 2 weeks down at camp, and Hell Life on this one.
I'm Emma, and I am doing lots of different things. Probably the easiest things to say, my prayer letters. I think there's still some copies left outside on the bench, and it'll list what I'm doing. But tomorrow I go to training week with a group of young people to teach, and then as they head out for the summer.
I'm Keith. I'm going to Thailand UFM for an outreach team at the start of
the I'm Dave, and I'm going to Mullerton for senior teens.
I'm Peter. I'm doing Hollow Life free teams on week 3.
I'm Claire. I'm doing Hello Life, week 3
in
preteens as well.
I'm Laurie, and I'm going to Thailand with UFM.
I'm Rebecca, I'm going to Beach Missions to cook.
I'm Lynn, and I go to supervise Gillian in the kitchen. And also Rachel Logan over there, and Joe Welch, who haven't got up.
Now, I know it feels awkward standing in front. I have to do it every week. But I know it can feel awkward, but I do think it is encouraging to see so many here, and even to also have in our mind that Joan and Jesse and Andrew are already out serving. And I want you to know that it is an encouragement to our whole church family to see you have a desire to go out and serve. And I want to just take a moment and to pray for you before you head to all the different parts that you're going to be in over the summer, and just ask that God would bless. So let's take a moment and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful encouragement of hearing of all of the different things that are going to be taking place this summer. We thank you for the work that will take place in Mullerton, and we thank you for so many people having been blessed by that work in the past in our church and who have the desire to go back and to serve there. And we do ask for fruit in all that will take place there. We ask that children would put their trust in Jesus Christ, and that many would be caused to grow and be able to look back on these experiences of camp as points in their life where they were able to take big steps forward. We do thank you for CEF and Emma's ongoing work there. And we do pray that this summer, as she tries to encourage so many and draw alongside other volunteers, we do pray that she would see a real blessing for her labors, and that she would see even younger leaders grow in their confidence and their ability to be useful in mission, and to be able to go back to their own church with new gifts and abilities to be used. We do pray for this Hello Life Week that is coming up. We thank you for the fact that this is taking place in our area, and we do pray that you would bless that work. We pray for all that will take place in Bulgaria, for the work that is already going on in Spain, for the work that will go on in Thailand. Lord, we do thank you that you have seen fit to allow our church to be able to have interaction with your missionaries, people who are at work in your different parts of the vineyard across the world. And we do pray that our own members and young people would be encouraged through those experiences, that they would be strengthened in their own faith as they seek to share what you have done in their life with others, and that they would be able to come back here after the summer with gifts and abilities that have been recognized, and a greater confidence in the fact that you are the God who is able to use them, that they would come back with that confidence and seek to be even more useful in the church here, and in schools and universities and in the workplace. Lord, we do pray that you would bless all of this effort over the summer, and that you would do so that Christ's name would be heard and glory brought to it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you very much. You can all sit down. Well, we want to sing tonight. And well, our first song we're going to sing is Take My Life and Let It Be. We've just been thinking about those who are heading out for the summer. We are also thinking about these three men that we prayed about at the start of the service as they take up a new responsibility within the church. And indeed, we read in Ephesians 4 about all of us, through the whole experience of church, when we gather, we should be equipped for the work of ministry. There's a work for all of us to do. And it's important that we recognize that we are here to serve the Lord. And so we'll stand and we'll sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. want to ask Roy West if he would come forward at this particular point in the service. I want to ask Roy just a couple of questions, and then want to take some time and pray for him. Roy, if you just come in nice and close to the mic. Roy, first of all, can you tell us how Emmanuel Baptist has impacted your life?
Well, much the same way, I think, as I've seen it impact a lot of people's lives. I've watched a lot of people join our church and come, and just as they got to know people and get into the fellowship, they become involved in the fellowship. The same thing happened to me. I came here about 1990, just whenever the church had opened about a year, and I knew some of the founder members, like of Granville and Daphne and David and Christine, Harry and Doreen, and I didn't know some of the other founder members until then. And as we came back here, me and Lila had decided that we were going to go to Emmanuel. So she said she'd like to go to Emmanuel. That meant that we were going to Emmanuel. So we came here, and then by and by, I get involved in children's work, Sunday school work, and different other things. One time, even along with David and Lynn, I think I got involved a little while for youth work, but I quickly found out that I wasn't cut out for youth work, and David and Lynn carried on. So that's basically how I got involved and the impact it's had on my life here. And over that time, I've grown, hopefully, in commitment, being a deacon here for a while and an elder for a little while. So I've seen it happen to other people as they've come here. Because churches, it's about people, really, isn't it? Christian people. And it's good to find a church that you like. It's terrible to be in a church you don't like. It can happen. But I'm very glad that I can say that my whole experience in Emmanuel has been good. And even after 27 years, I still plan my whole life really around what goes on in my church. That's how great an impact it has on and has had on my life, Andrew.
Roy, as you take up this role of eldership in the church, how can the church family be praying for you as you take on this particular task?
Well, when you text that question to me, I posed it in front of my wife and I said, what should I ask people to pray for me? What would be my request? And she sort of smiled, and where would you start and where would you finish? Smile, you know? So, I'm like everybody else. I have weaknesses. I have things that I would like to see changed in my life. I'm not too sure I would like to say them publicly, but I do need prayer. And I need, because I'm going to work now with David Wills and Keith. Not that they need it, but I need it. But I need prayer to work along with these men and to work with the diaconate. I've been, like I say, I worked in the diaconate before, but I've been sort of freelance now for 10 years, and I realise I'm going to have to answer to other people for my decisions in life. So I would pray that you'd help us there in that respect. I know David a long time. I first met David in a prayer meeting of over 40 years ago, and to show the caliber of a man he was. I think he'd only been married about a week, and him and his wife, I think he'd just finished their honeymoon, and there I met him in a prayer meeting. So that's the sort of man I'm with. And Keith's been a Christian since he was four, a man who's had great experience, and there's not much that Keith doesn't know about Christian life and churches, and I need to pray for me as I work with him. I have a friend who I ring up occasionally. He rang me up the other day to go with him for for coffee. And I said, I can't meet you. I've got to go meet two other people. And he texts back, I'd pray for them. So people who associate with me do need to have prayer made for them. So I'd appreciate that. But for relationships, I do need help. And I'd pray that you'd pray for me in that way. And if I can't give you any specific things, but perhaps as you're reading your Bible slowly and thoughtfully and prayerfully, if you come across something and think, I think Wes needs that, maybe you could turn that into prayer for me, please. All right?
We as a church, the church members met last Thursday, and they voted for each of the men. I've been talking to the church family for a while. We've been praying for a long time that God would answer our prayer and give us elders in our church, and to be able to help and to shoulder the load and to just demonstrate in their presence and in their thoughtfulness care for the family. And it was a wonderful night on Thursday to be able to come and see these three men voted into office. And it's what we are doing at this point is recognizing that while the church voted, it's God who has placed these men in our church family, and God who has brought them into this particular role. And so there is a need for us to pause and right now pray specifically for Roy, and later we'll pray for David and then for Keith, and pray that God would equip them for this task that they are taking up. Nobody is perfect, as Roy just mentioned. We all need prayer and we all need support. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for these men. But right now, before they really commence their work amongst us, we want to bring them before the Lord and ask for his help. So let's take a moment and pray specifically for Roy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Roy. We do thank you, Lord, that you sought him out. We do thank you that you pursued him early in his marriage and you transformed his life. And you saved not just him, but you saved his wife also. And you allowed them both to know what it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. We thank you for the way that you have continued to use him in the lives of others. We thank you for all of that he has heard through sermons and through reading and through the investment of other people in his life. We thank you for the way that he has grown and the progress he has made along the walk, the Christ-likeness that has developed in his life. And Lord, we do pray for him. We recognize that Satan is busy and will want to trip him up. And so we pray, Lord, that you would keep him, that you would protect him from the temptation of Satan, that you would protect him from anything that may distract, and indeed, Lord, that you would allow him to run hard the race that is marked out for him. We thank you, Lord, that you have seen fit to bring him amongst us, and to make him very much a part of the church family here. And we thank you, Lord, for how you have also now placed him in a position of leadership amongst us, how you've seen fit to make him one of our shepherds, to care for the people of this church. We pray that you would give him the wisdom that he needs for that task. We ask, Lord, that you would give him that ability to discern when to speak and when to listen. We ask, Lord, that you would give him a keen awareness of your word and the texts that apply to particular situations. We ask, Lord, that you would give him the grace that he needs and that he would be an example of hope before us. And we pray, Lord, that in everything he seeks to do in your service, that he would do so in the strength that can come only from yourself. Lord, we pray for us as a church family. We ask, Lord, that you would make us gracious in our disposition towards Roy. We ask, Lord, that you would make us a prayerful people for Roy. We ask, Lord, that we would be a church family that it is a joy to serve amongst. And we do pray, Lord, that even this experience of seeking to be an elder amongst us would be something that you would use to grow him, to deepen his love for Christ, and to use him to continue to develop the saints and to further the gospel message in this part of the vineyard. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Roy has I request that the next song that we're going to sing, we're going to stand and sing, "He Will Hold Me Fast." And then I want to ask David to come forward. I'm going to ask him a couple of questions also. Coming nice and close, David, to the mic. David, Roy mentioned that you were one of the founders in the church. And you know, there was a team of you at the very beginning. What was the vision or the hope, the great hope of the founders as you sought to start a work here on the Glenavy Road?
Well, there was 10 members, 5 families, and we moved up from Lisburn to here. And what was our hope was to establish a work and to evangelise in the area. And it has worked out amazing, like it's way beyond the wildest dream. We met in a wee room down here. And you wonder when we're ever going to get out of it, you know. But the Lord was good. It's his work. And he did a mighty job. It was lovely to see people saved. I was just sharing during the week there. We had two missions. And one the first year and one the next. And in both of those missions, we saw three people saved at each mission. And you know this? Not one of them came to Emmanuel or here. They were from all over the place, England, Newton, Ards, and all over the place. And I was wrestling with the Lord. Why is it we want to see souls coming here? But slowly he has worked in through probably the greatest part of our work has been through the children. And that's been the way to the adults so often too, was reaching the children through the Sunday school and the Upward Bound and in the youth club. And it's been amazing just how that there has caused God to work, you know, amongst the adults as well. Yeah.
As you look ahead to the next couple of years in the life of the church, how would you like to see us develop as a church family?
Oh, dear me. I still have dreams. But, I'll tell you what I do think in the last few years. Last year, not this year, last year with the group from LA coming here and that prayer meeting every day, I feel that there has been a great step forward, and we've continued it on through the year. And I know most of the folk here don't appreciate what we're saying, because you're working and you have to work, and it's good to work and it's recommended 6 days now, not five. But what do they call it? That there has been holy ground in that wee purple room there. And even in the last week, you know, we were called to prayer on Tuesday, Monday night for Tuesday. And it was amazing how many came, young and old. You know, it wasn't just the retired folk. There was young people. All realised the need and met. And that wee room was packed. And I think that's something that I would love to see developed on. How it'll be done, we'll talk about someday. But I think there's a real need for prayer. If you look at churches that are thriving and blessed, you find out where they're praying. And there's always a prayer ministry, that always great times of prayer. And God is blessed, whatever denomination. I always remember Chum Nam that used to come here from Korea. And the church that he was in, I think it had 7,000 or something. And I said to him, when do you meet for prayer? He says, every morning at 6 o'clock or something like that. And no wonder the church was being blessed. And I do think that prayer, not only God hears prayer, but prayer changes the heart of the prayer too. And I think we would see a big change here if we could get to prayer.
Yeah. One of the things that is important for us all to know as we think about these three men coming alongside myself in eldership, that we now have, and it has been a thing that the church has been praying about for a long time, a team of elders in the church. We are all equal in this team, and we will be seeking to work together. We have maybe different emphasis in our gifts and the things that we'll do in the church, but we have been appointed by the church and seek to operate as a group of equals. And I want to ask Roy to come back up again now and to demonstrate that we're now a team by praying for David.
Our great God and our always loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being able to bow before you. We thank you again for your church. We bless you again for the benefits there is in meeting, for doctrine, and for fellowship, for prayers, and to remember the Lord Jesus. We do thank you, our Father, too, for this place. We thank you, as been said, for the way we started off. We thank you for the help that we've received down through the years. We bless you for the families that attend here. And we ask this evening again that you continue to bless us in this new stage of our life. We pray for David here. We thank you for him. We thank you for his obvious gift. We thank you again for his friendliness. We thank you for the knowledge that he has as a Christian person. And we ask our Father that you would use him here in Emmanuel Baptist Church. We thank you that he has allowed himself to be nominated by the body to become an elder. We pray that you bless him and use him. We ask our Father, has been prayed already, that you'd bring to his mind your word and your truth when it comes to times of need. We pray, our Father, that when he calls from his heart to you, like Nehemiah of old, you would answer him. And so we just commit him to you. We ask again you bless his wife. We pray, thank you for Christine. And we pray that you bless her in her assistance of David and his ministry. We do ask again, too, that we as a body of people would remember David to the Lord day and daily. We just commit ourselves to you again in the name and in the merits of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You can have a seat. David has picked the next hymn that we're going to stand and sing together. It's Thank You for the Cross, Lord. A song that reminds us about the Savior. The reason we are a church family is that we have been put our trust, if you're a Christian, you've put your trust in the same Lord, the same Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the members of the church, they love Jesus and they're here to worship Jesus. And this song reminds us of that work that he did so that we could know him. Let's stand together and sing to God. you know, it is a personal delight to be able to be at this point of our church's life. When they came to the church, right from the beginning, people in the church were talking and had a desire to see elders in place here, other men alongside myself to be able to work and to show care and to provide leadership for the church. And it has been something that has very much been in the heart of the people of our church, and something I know that many of you have been committed to praying for. And even David mentioned there those Friday morning prayer meetings, something that continually on those Friday mornings has been a point of prayer. And it is wonderful, isn't it, when we can see God answer prayer. And tonight is really an answer to many prayers that have been offered in this church. I actually encourage you, these Friday morning prayer meetings, we're going to keep them going through the summer. We understand people will be away and you know, different holidays and everything else. But even if there's two or three that are able to gather and pray for the needs of the church, that is a good thing and a necessary thing. And so if you're free at 10 o'clock any Friday morning, please come into the Purple Room and join the little group there to pray for the needs in the church. Also, those of you who are working and unable to maybe come and to join, you see, if you are burdened about something and you want to know that there is a little group that in the church praying for those things, feel free to send myself a message. Roy and David are there every week. Send them a message and know that the church family, there's a group within the church family meeting and praying for that particular need. So I just encourage you, if you're able to come. Maybe if you're working, but you have something that you would love to know that the church family is praying about, please feel free to pass that along. That it has been a wonderful thing to see some within our church being able to meet and just bring our requests, our needs as a church family to God. Well, the next person I want to bring up is Keith. So I'm going to ask Keith to come forward. And I've got a couple of questions for him also. Okay, Keith. First of all, you're about to become an elder at Emmanuel Baptist Church. We're going to pray for you in a moment and entrust you to God. How do you understand this new role? You know, what will you be doing? Help us as a church family to understand what this means.
Well, some of you can probably remember back to that first day walking into secondary school. So it feels a bit like that, to be honest. Where you kind of know what's happening, but you have that sense of having not been there before. But as I've been reading over the last week, there's two things that really stuck out to me in terms of what it means. First one is that passage in 1 Timothy 3 where it talks about the role of an elder and it talks about the need to care for the church of God. And the second thing is that passage from Titus 1 where it talks about someone who sticks closely to the word. And I think for me, my hope is that I can just be a little encouragement in some way and help people to, as we go through life's trials and difficulties and the temptations, to find our hope not in the things around us, but in Christ. And in terms of what I'm actually going to be doing, I think initially there'll be a lot of learning happening, and that's where I'm going to be looking to some that have a bit more experience. But for us, the central thing is that as Christians, our hope is in Christ. And that is what we need to be reminded of when we go through trials and difficulties. And it's what the people who live around us need to be presented with if they haven't yet come to Christ for themselves.
We're now going to have a team of four elders in the church. What do you think is the advantage of having that plurality there, that group of four?
Well, I think it's probably going to be, I hope it's a help for you, Andrew.
I hope so too.
In terms of ability to just share that workload. But funny, David and I were talking about it this morning. I think maybe having one, it's a bit like trying to ride a bike with one pedal. You know, it's quite possible, but it has its challenges. So you know, everybody has different life experience, different challenges that they faced, and different things that have brought them help. So I think that having multiple people just brings that balance and that ability to share that workload between various people.
Well, we are glad to be at this particular point. I want to ask Roy and David to come forward and lay hands on Keith as well. And I'll ask David to pray for Keith as he takes up this role within our church family. Let's pray.
Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you've led us here at Emmanuel this far to this day. And Father, we realize that this work has been yours. Father, we thank you for how you've led it and how you've brought it on. And Father, this evening we just bring Keith before you. And we realize, Father, that he is yours also. And you've called him today to this service. Thank you, Father, that you've called him to help lead in the work here. And Father, this evening we just lift him up before you and realize that not one of us here can take this task on without your help. Mm-hmm. And we pray, O God, that you would just bless Keith as he leads the flock here. We pray, Father, that you'll give him the guidance that he needs, give him wisdom, give him discernment, and Father, give him strength. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead him and guide him and all these things, realizing, Lord, that each one of us here one day will give an account for how we've led the flock. And Father, we pray that we'll keep our eyes fixed upon the Good Shepherd and that we'll follow in his footsteps. Bless Keith and all that you've got lined up for him, Lord. And we realize that you've given him many gifts and talents. And we pray, Lord, that you will use them in a mighty way in this place. And that as a result, your name will be glorified not only in the place, but in the surrounding area. And that people will talk that the Lord is here in the house. Mm-hmm. Bless, we pray. And we pray in our Saviour's lovely name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, you can all have a seat. And Keith's requested the next song. We're going to stand together and sing to God why again, beneath the cross of Jesus. Let's stand together and sing a song that reminds us that our confidence is in the work that Jesus has done on our behalf.